I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
All right. All right, time for some Touche here in December, the end of 2017. The final Touche of the year with Dave Lundy and Chris Varonis in studio as we get ready to argue, push, pull. What are we going to do here tonight? Let's get into it. A lot to talk about. Why don't we start, guys, with the tax plan? It seemed at the middle of last week after we talked, it was on shaky ground. Some senators were saying, you know, we're not going to go that way. Then we get to the weekend, and then we start to see that they turned the vote, but it might have been for personal reasons. What's happening?
Corker kickback, I think you're referring to there, Justin. Senator Bob, I will never vote for this if it adds even one penny to the deficit. Corker suddenly changed his mind at the last minute, and lo and behold, it was discovered that a tax provision was put in place that would benefit those people who had passed through real estate companies. Who might have those? Somebody named Donald and, oh, somebody named Bob Corker apparently might benefit to the tune of millions of dollars. Corker insists, I had no idea. I didn't even know this was in there. And at this point, from my perspective, there are no Republican heroes. There are only Republican hypocrites who've been talking about deficit reduction for years and came up with a horrid bill.
All right, Mr. Varonis.
You know, Dave Lundy.
Yes, Chris Varonis?
Dave Lundy, if you met a black hole, you would suck in the black hole.
I don't even know what that means.
I swear to God. Because nothing escapes your presence. Nothing, including the facts and the truth. I mean, seriously.
Well, I do suck in the facts and the truth, that's why I always spit them out at you in response to your
week.
Like, rhetoric
with these chicken little prophecies about how the country is going to slide off into the ocean. It's ridiculous.
So this is not going to add to our national debt,
but improvements there will be. There, this bill's not perfect.
You
there,
acknowledge there will, it will pay for yes, itself. It oh, will. That's great and progress.
Well, it's a misgiving I have that no one's got the courage to do spending cuts anymore. It's all spending increases and tax cuts, and that's not sustainable over the long term. But, you know, a lot of things that you've said in the past aren't true anymore. You've got a child tax credit that was included. You've got expensing. You've got 62% of Americans who will see a tax cut. You get 8% who will see a mild marginal tax increase. On average,
as long as you're not the 8%, that's fine.
This is going to increase jobs. This is about capital formation. We haven't had that in about two decades.
What I've really enjoyed in this debate is that Republicans don't even hide the fact this is just for corporate tax cuts. The goal of this legislation is corporate tax. Yeah, there's a little for the middle class there, but it's about corporations. Wealth is created by middle class people spending money into the economy and fueling.
Gosh, I'm sorry, that lesson this in economics is class.
Well, clearly you did miss that lesson. Yeah. But no, the fact is that if you look at any economic expansion in recent times, it was created by middle class having more money in their pocket and spending that money in the economy.
Last I checked, Bill 90% Clinton
cut of the benefits
gains tax.
90% of the benefits of this bill are going to the top 2%.
Came into the federal government. In the 80s, there is almost $1 trillion in new revenues.
You throw a little carrot. You throw a little mini carrot.
$1 trillion in revenues. Yeah, that's
no, that's mostly going to the corporations and the 1%. 90% of the benefits are going there.
The Treasury Department, Dave. The Treasury Department got $1 trillion in extra revenues in the 80s.
Okay, yeah, and that's why the deficits exploded as they did under George W. Bush when the economy didn't expand with these tax cuts.
Chris has a point in the way that there has been a lot of hysteria around this tax plan, a lot of different areas that were called out by the media that said, oh, this is going to be taken from people, watch out for the mortgage interest. And I think what Chris is saying is that when it all plays out, either that stuff, maybe the hysteria was right in the way that it got people away from the ledge, or it just wasn't true at all.
No, it was 100% true, and the focus on it helped the Republicans move away from things. Like, for example, they restored medical expense deduction, something I've railed about in here. They decided
not to. The adoption tax credit was restored.
Oh, thank God. because that affects so many people
but
in this country compared
to these things in the weeks.
No, the adoption tax credit was not something I was critical of. I was critical of taxing the tuition waivers for graduate students. I was critical of the fact that in high tax states like Illinois and California and New York, those states are going to be killed. Like my best friend in New York, the Trump voter, is going to be killed because you can't deduct more than $10,000. And if you're a property taxpayer in Illinois, that's it. You're done with that. Plus, you probably got more.
Well,
you have the income taxes.
There were no
plus
SALT deductions before. And they
actually one of the bills had $10,000 and the other had none. Yeah. So yes,
but they ended up with a compromise.
Yes, they made a horrendously bad bill slightly less horrendous.
Look, Dave Lundy, you can sit and pull threads out of this tax package all you want. But
no,
you know
I'll pull
what?
The entire fundamental underpinnings.
I'm okay standing with workers, small businesses, creating jobs, and kickbacks.
This won't create
for families
jobs.
With children.
This won't create jobs. That's what the 295 out of the 300 CEOs said.
Let me say this. 847 has a good point. It said Trump said on the campaign trail, huge cuts, huge tax cuts for the middle class. And, you know, that's the issue here is that when it's done, it's not huge tax cuts for the middle class.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily, as Dave kind of pointed out, the corporate tax is obviously the winner.
Permanent.
Here. Permanent. So. Yeah. Is there going to be an optics problem with the president when there aren't middle class tax cuts huge like the likes of which we've never seen?
In a lot of ways, yeah, I never really bought into this marketing genius Donald Trump thing. I never have. And whenever he's in the stump, this just obscene overstating just doesn't help him in the end. Yeah. Case in point, exactly what you said.
Is anyone going to hold him to it?
It's the biggest overstatements in the history of mankind. They're huge overstatements.
Yeah. You know, that aside, that doesn't take away from the fact that this is, on average, a good bill, not perfect, that's going to lead to more jobs, that's going to lead to more money in the pockets of people.
Can I just ask you one question?
Yeah, go ahead.
If it's such a good bill, how come the Treasury Department itself that had claimed it had hundreds of economists doing analysis for months and months and months, at the end of the day could produce zero analysis except for this one-pager where it turned out in order to get the 2.9% growth...
The one-pager you're talking about was like 6 months ago.
No, last week. What are you talking about?
There was
a one-pager that they came out with that said you get 2.9% growth, but in order to do that, you don't just have to do the tax cuts, you have to do every other policy Donald Trump is proposing, which of course ain't gonna happen.
Yeah. So, all right, so let's move on from tax cuts. Let's quickly look at the situation with the investigation into Russia and the campaign and collusion. Yesterday, the president's lawyers came out and suggested that the special prosecutor obtained some of the transition emails illegally, and therefore tarnished, therefore they should be disqualified, therefore this should be over. Is that a loophole they're trying to exploit? Are they doing the classic lawyer thing where they're trying to get it thrown out before it throws in, or at least dirty the water, or there's something to be said about this?
Donald Trump has bad lawyers. I think that a lot of legal experts have concluded that Donald Trump has very, very bad lawyers. And, you know, there's an old saying in law, I am a recovering lawyer, and there's an old saying, you know, if you can't argue the facts, argue the law. If you can't argue the law, pound the table. And they're pounding the table.
Okay.
So, you know, they're claiming that the special prosecutor could not get the .gov emails from the transition and that they somehow obtained them illegally. And what Mueller's team said is we either had permission of the holder of the email or we obtained them through legal criminal process. In other words, either a subpoena or some other...
So this doesn't... in your mind, it doesn't stick.
There's zero
here. Does this undermine Mueller in any way, Chris?
Well, I can understand why the White House is circling the wagons. You know, no one likes to be investigated, especially by a special counsel. And, you know, there's some real policy problems with the whole notion of a special counsel one. I just think at the end of the day, this is a tempest in a teapot. I mean, honestly, it's gonna blow over.
You want to put money on that?
Yeah, I will put money on that. I will.
A gentleman's bet, but
I'm saying this will not lead to any kind of firing of Robert Mueller. And no one's saying that. Not even Trump. Not even the Senate Republicans.
So if they're not going to fire Robert Mueller, why is the official organ of the White House, Fox News, having a endless...
Who
well,
cares?
It matters because they're trying to influence the public into saying it's okay.
Said, Not even Donald Trump said Mueller should be fired because he knows that would be
come on. You're a communications professional. You know how this works. He's saying, I would never suggest you fire Rob Mueller. You can't fire Rob Mueller. But in the meantime, every organ I control is going to make the predicate case of why you must fire Robert
in
Mueller.
In Trump's speak.
And then at the end, Trump is going to say, I guess I got to fire Robert
speak, he didn't
Mueller.
Have to say Robert Mueller shouldn't be fired. He could have said, we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, next week, we'll see.
Chris Varonis, Dave Lundy in studio tonight. Touche. When we come back, let's talk about whether or not 2017 was a win for Democrats or a win for Republicans. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche.
You go right.
Touche! Chris Varonis, Dave Lundy in studio tonight. This is the final Touche of 2017. That's amazing to think about. We've done so many on Monday nights here on 720 WGN. And it made me think, since it's the last one, well, we could do a wrap-up. We can look ahead to 2018. But yeah, ask the question, especially with the verbiage used today with the president and his national security speech about we're going to win national security, which doesn't seem like the right way to say it. But yeah, I get what he's going for. But we're going to win. So let's use that word, win. And say in 2017, from both of your standpoints, who won? Yeah. Democrats or Republicans?
Yeah. It's a really good question, and it makes me think, quite honestly, of Chicago football. It's just not giving us nothing. And Chicago football is apt here because I think back to the glory days of the Chicago Bears where you had these quarter-long drives, uneventful, just grinding it out. Maybe it would end in something. Maybe it didn't, but it ran out the clock. That's kind of what's happening on a national stage right now. It's sad. It's sad. Politics is broken. When you have one party that's in the White House, Congress, and pretty much controls the courts, can't get anything done but for one tax bill that should happen by the end of the year. And Democrats are just laughable, you know, just disorganized, no agenda, no vision. It's all anti-Trump. That is the one message of the Democratic Party right now. So I say, and I don't want to be the Grinch that stole Christmas here, politics doesn't give me much optimism for 2018.
All right, Dave, you agree?
Well,
with
I'm
that?
Depressed. I agree with part of it. Although, actually, I think Chris is not giving the Republicans and the Trump administration enough credit for its malevolence. I think that, if you want to say who won politically the year, the Democrats, by far.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Trump has dropped precipitously in the polls. You have the widest spread of the public wanting the Democrats to control Congress since 2005. Some polls have it at 15, some polls have it at 11. I mean, it's huge. There is a tsunami building against this president and this party. That said, what Trump has done in a really malicious sort of way is he has gutted the federal regulatory scheme by putting people in charge of agencies that don't believe in the agencies that they're in charge of. So you put Scott Pruitt in charge of the EPA, and all Scott Pruitt has done is systematically dismantle the EPA.
Blah, blah, blah.
Listen, it's only the air you breathe and the water you drink. I can understand why you don't care.
Alabama, okay, Doug Jones. What's the difference between that and Massachusetts after Obamacare in 2010? There's a little difference.
That's a great question.
It's Groundhog Day.
Can I answer it?
And so let me finish this point, though.
Okay.
For a country that could go in one election cycle from a Barack Obama to Donald Trump tells you that this country's in pain, is looking for answers, is looking for someone to step into the void. And so they went with the wild card, Donald Trump. But what I'm saying is a pox on both your houses. Republicans and Democrats aren't
let me ask
offering
this.
But
let me
I need to answer his question.
Okay, go ahead.
I need to answer his question. Because he asked, what is the difference between 2010 when Scott Brown was elected and 2017 when Doug Jones was elected. And the difference is that in 2010, Barack Obama said, we're not going to just use our current muscle to shove Obamacare down your throats. We're going to allow your senator, who was just elected, Scott Brown, to take a seat before we vote. Whereas this time, the Republicans said, nah, we're not going to let Doug Jones sit. We're going to shove this down your throat. In every example where the Republicans criticize the Democrats, they are doing 10,000 times worse than they did
pointless.
Before.
My point is legitimate. Republicans have the votes. They're going to get the tax.
Therefore, they just throw all policies and precedent out the window. Well, you're right. That's exactly what they're doing. So thank you for acknowledging this, because this is for you, Chris.
But I am interested in Donald Trump likes to call out that the Democrats didn't have any they liked this tax bill, but they couldn't come out, you know, because of Schumer and Pelosi telling them they want, and they're not involved. They didn't help us at all. And at the same time, you have Republicans who do everything closed door and go to reconciliation, so they don't have to include the party. When we talk about the Democrats and are they win loss on policy? Where do they stand? Because they haven't really, I think you're right in the sense that they're anti-Trump, but they haven't had any policy wins because they haven't been in power.
Yeah, and I think that, look, Chris and a lot of Republicans are criticizing Democrats for not having a message right now, and they're right, they don't. But what the Democrats learned from 2010 and 2014 is that nihilism works, and that if you just say no to the unpopular president with your base, you can sweep the Senate and sweep the House. And so the Democrats learned that, and the White House.
Well, Sue's got a great point.
I don't like it.
A win for Republicans, a win for Democrats. When does someone care if it's a win for us?
Yeah,
the United States.
I would argue
the Democrats care precisely that it's a win for the people, which is why they're fighting against these awful policies, like stripping people's health care, like stripping putting the tax breaks all in the hands of the wealthy. I mean, it's the Democrats who are standing up for the American people and the Republicans who are saying, no, we're going to give our corporate donors all the benefits.
Yeah, elections have consequences, too. I mean, the people sure embraced all that Democratic caring. You know,
so and your point, this was your year too.
2016, this was your year. I'm talking about like the Senate. You should at least got the Senate.
And your point is absolutely legitimate. But you're not being shy about the fact we've got the power. So suck it.
Yeah, pretty much.
I wish that was it for Touche. That's like the best end line for 2017 to be like. And as Dave Lundy says, happy holidays and suck it. But I will say that as we still have a couple minutes, so
because there's more,
it was a great end line that we have to still do two or three more minutes here. But as I look ahead, I mean, the 2018 election season, both at the state level and the midterms coming up, I mean, there's a lot that can go in different directions in this country.
Yeah.
Are the people right now fed up with what's happened in 2017?
Yeah. It's not unusual for the sitting president to take a hit, especially in these off-year elections. But that's just the way it's always been. So in that respect, Alabama kinda isn't unusual. Although there was like a horrific candidate.
Oh, it's pretty unusual.
Horrific candidate.
Yeah, that's an anomaly. I mean, just put
aside the child groping thing. He was just a bad candidate.
Yes, he was crazy
too. But Dave, there is a wave building, and I think Republicans should be concerned about those butterfly wing flaps. It could turn into something pretty serious next November. Donald Trump billed himself as a deal maker. That was his number one attribute. If he's smart, he'll find a way to work with Democrats.
Last thought, Dave.
Republicans are going to take advantage of the growing deficits put in place by their tax plan to try to gut entitlements. Paul Ryan's already said he's going to do it.
Say nothing of Obamacare.
Well, they're not going to be able to gut Obamacare, but they are going to try to gut entitlements, and the combination of that
and the benefits for their attempts to do it combined with
the benefits that the tax plans put in the hands of their wealthy donors is going to help to make sure that 2018 is a great year for Democrats.
There you go. Dave Lundy, Chris Varonis, Happy New Year, guys. We'll see you coming up in January.
Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.